time for us to begin. I have been given instructions to get up here and get going. No introductions and all that kind of stuff, which is great. So thank you for allowing me to be part of your wonderful fellowship today. It's always a joy to meet wonderful brothers and sisters in Jesus for the first time and then get hugs from folks that you've known for a long time. And I just am so grateful to be in Cookeville today. My wife would be with me, but my soon-to-be 91-year-old mother is staying with us for about a month, and we're having to drop her eyes about every 2 hours. So Diane's back home with eye drops in her hands, taking care of mother, and we're happy to be able to do that. She lives in Tuscaloosa, doing rather well. She's a wonderful servant of Jesus in her own right. Thank you again for letting me be here. And this time, we're going to direct our attention to Psalm 1. So turn with me to Psalm 1. He was a senator. He was Speaker of the House. He was Secretary of State. He ran for president 3 times and lost all 3 times. The last time he thought he really had a chance of being elected. But he held a very unpopular view relative to a subject that was heated in his day. He was actually told, if you make that position known, it will cost you the presidency. He made it known, and Henry Clay explained why he so did. He said, I'd rather be right than president. I'd rather be right than president. We talk about Mr. Right. Civil rights, human rights, the Bill of Rights, the price is right. But I'd rather be right with God. How about you? Psalm 1 can help us. Now, as we turn to Psalm 1, I'm going to ask you, what is the first word of the psalm? Can you tell me without looking? Beg your pardon? Blessed. What is the last word of the psalm? Can you tell me without looking? Okay, look. What's the last word? In my Bible, it's the word perish. What's the difference between someone who is blessed, another way to translate that, happy with life, and someone who is perishing with hell in their future? What makes the difference? It's what we find between the first and last word of the psalm. And it's all about making good decisions. Do you want to be happy in life and have heaven in your destiny? Make good decisions. You want to avoid going to hell and perishing in the same? Make good decisions. So here's what we want to do in the time that is ours. We want to look at Psalm 1, and in doing so, glean some thoughts from the psalm, and then we will close by spelling the word right. I want you to think now, how do you spell the word right? Think about that in your mind. Don't let me know now. I want you to tell me in a minute how to spell the word right. For now, as we turn to Psalm 1, and we look for things that can help us make good decisions, we find, once again, the psalm segmenting itself grammatically into 2 basic divisions. First of all, in the psalm, we have some things to remember for today, some things to put into practice right here and now. Watch how the psalm begins. It teaches us that right here and now there are things to do. Blessed is, that's present tense. Blessed is the man who does this, who does this, or who does this, really, who does not do this. Verse 2, but his delight is present tense in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates, present tense, day and night. As I read verses 1 and 2, I'm reading about the here and now and what an individual chooses to do right now. So there's some things to remember for the here and now that can help us make good decisions. Here's what I find in verses 1 and 2. First of all, to make better or to make good decisions, we need to make certain that we listen to good counsel. The psalm begins, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. A lot of times, who you are is determined by who you listen to. Because who you are results in what you do. And what you do because of who you are has been encouraged by who you listen to. And so our psalm says, if you want to be happy, don't listen to the wrong people. Don't walk in the counsel of the wicked. Here are two examples of people who did and paid the consequences. In point of fact, we all pay the consequence of the first example as we turn to Genesis chapter 3. All of the misery that is in the world, all of the physical and emotional, even spiritual challenges that we have to face today are here today because one person listened to the wrong counsel. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God actually say you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? He got in her head. Did God really say that? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it. No, whoa. God never said that. He said, don't eat of it. He never said, don't touch it. You see, he's already getting in her head. Did God really say that? No. We can eat anything, eat from any tree, but we can't eat that one. In fact, we can't even touch that one. So he's in her head. We can't touch it or lest we die. But the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. God knows when you eat of it, your eyes will be open. You will be like God, knowing good and evil. Now watch verse 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, lust of the eyes, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desired to make one wise, good for food, lust of the flesh, desire to the eyes, lust of the eyes, make you wise like God, vain glory of life. It says that she took of its fruit and ate. And she did that because she listened to the wrong counsel. In 1 Kings chapter 13, we read about a young prophet. And the young prophet stands before King Jeroboam. And he tells King Jeroboam of his fate. And before the boy leaves, Jeroboam didn't like what he heard. And he challenged his army to arrest the young boy. And when he pointed his finger to the boy and called for his arrest, his hand withered. And so the king pled to the young man to pray to God that his hand might be restored, and it was. And so the king said, come home, let's celebrate. And the boy said, I can't do that. I've been told by God, the word of the Lord said that I was not to eat or drink or even go back home the same way that I came. And you'll find that multiple times in the reading of 1 Kings 13. He leaves the king, and on his way, he's met by an older prophet. And the older prophet says, yo, come on home. I heard about what you did with King Jeroboam. Let's celebrate. No, no, no. I can't eat or drink or even go home the same way. That's according to the word of the Lord. And the old man lied. The chapter says he lied. Those are the words. He lied to the boy and said, an angel told me that the word of the Lord to you is, come home and eat with me. The boy believed the lie. He went home. And he learned that he should not have done so. And on his way home, he was met by a lion and slayed. Read 1 Kings chapter 13 and the early verses of chapter 14 and underline every time you read the word of the Lord, the word of the Lord, the word of the Lord. The boy started listening to somebody other than the word of the Lord, and it cost him his life because he listened to the wrong counsel. I'm reminded of Psalm 119, verse 24, 25. Thy testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors. If I want to make good decisions, I must listen to good counsel. And that good counsel would be counsel that directs me to the word of the Lord. It'll be all right, he says. We love one another. And now she finds herself in her mid-20s, a single mother, raising a child that was sired in a night that shouldn't have been because she listened to the wrong counsel. Try this, he's told. It will make you feel like you've never felt before. And that's usually voiced to someone that's struggling with life. Here, ease the pain that you're going through. Just this one time. Only he finds out that just one time leads to another time until he finds himself, yea, even in high school, an alcoholic. Yea, even in high school, a drug addict. Yea, an individual in his or her 30s whose teeth are rotting out, whose life is absolutely shambled because in high school he listened to the wrong counsel. He, she begin to cry on each other's shoulders because things aren't the way they need to be at home. His marriage to his wife, her marriage to her husband, they're just disappointments, and so they cry on each other's shoulder to the point. They listen to each other to the point. They begin to find themselves shoulder to shoulder in a relationship that's more intimate than it needed to be, all because somebody listened to the wrong counsel. Here's a boy that has lost tens of thousands of dollars and files bankruptcy because somebody came to him with a great business opportunity and he listened to the wrong counsel. You want to be happy? You want heaven in your future? Listen to good counsel that takes you to the word of the Lord. Measure every decision that you have to make by the word of the Lord. Also, right here and now, keep good company. Psalm 1 verse 1 goes on, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. We could focus on the progression of thought, walk, stand, sit, on the progression of thought, wicked, sinners, scoffers. We could get into the original terminology and see how emphatic it is, but just putting our finger on the pulse, we learn. Keep good company if you want to be happy in life. Evil companionship does what? Tell me. It corrupts. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. So I turn for a couple of examples of that to the New Testament. And I find a man that we laud, and rightfully so. But he had weak moments in his life. And one of them is found in Luke 22, where in Luke 22, those that arrested Jesus sat down together, and Peter, verse 55 says, sat among them, which led him to say, woman, I don't know the man. Man, I don't know. And then, I know not the man. Three times he denies Jesus before the rooster crows. And he goes out and weeps bitterly. And it's all because he was keeping bad company. He's the son of exhortation. He's the son of encouragement. Barnabas. We're introduced to him in Acts chapter 4. He was nicknamed that by the apostles themselves. He kept company with the apostles. In Galatians chapter 2, that didn't serve him very well. Because in Galatians 2, verses 11 to 14, you have the Apostle Peter in another weak moment. He heard that individuals were coming from Jerusalem to Antioch, and here Peter was hobnobbing, we'd say, in Middle Tennessee. He was hobnobbing with the Gentiles. And he heard that Jews were coming, and so he pulled back and acted like someone that had nothing to do with the Gentiles and was guilty of hypocrisy. And Paul said, according to some translations, because of that he stood condemned. Galatians 2 tells us that even Barnabas, the son of exhortation, even Barnabas was led away by their hypocrisy. He kept bad company. Good people on that moment doing bad things, resulting in bad company at that moment, and bad company encouraged him to make bad decisions. Right here and now, you want to make good decisions? Listen to good counsel that directs you to what God says. Keep good company. Now there's a shift in emphasis. As we begin with verse 3 and continue, we find that there are some things to keep in mind or to remember for tomorrow. Now the English Standard Version is a bit different. Mine says, he is like a tree, that is this happy person. Then it says, the wicked are not so, but are like. In the King James, New King James, American Standard, there's a shift in emphasis from the present tense to a shall be, shall be, shall not be. And attention is directed to the future. So here is an individual who is wicked, who is a sinner, who is a scoffer, and we're asked to look at their future. The happy man, he will be like a tree that is planted and productive. He will be like a tree planted by the streams of water that yields fruit in its season. Not only productive, but it perseveres. Its leaf does not wither. Not only does it persevere, it prospers. Wow! In all that he does, he prospers. You want to be a success? Listen to the right counsel. Keep the right company. But then the wicked are not so. They shall be like chaff that the wind drives away. Chaff would be, okay, here is the apron that a Jew would have, and they put all of the grain, the wheat, into the apron, and they throw it up in the air. They throw it up in the air, and they continue to do the process. And the wheat of the kernel itself falls back into the apron, and the chaff, all that skin around the wheat, if you please, is caught in the wind and driven away. The wicked is like that worthless chaff that is just driven away by the changing times of culture. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment. They're not only blown away, they have to bow down on the day of judgment. When we read verse 5, the wicked will not stand. It's a different Hebrew word than the word stand back in verse 1. The word translated stand in verse 5 means to stand erect. The wicked will not stand erect before Jesus Christ. They will have to bow in shame. The righteous won't stand erect either. Philippians 2 tells us every knee will bow before him, but the righteous will bow in respect and humility, whereas the wicked bows in absolute shame, knowing the harm that is yet to come. Want to make good decisions? Remember what you decide today will impact your tomorrow. My mama's favorite verse when I was growing up was in the book of Numbers. Be sure your sins will find you out. I'll be if that wasn't true time and again. And of course, Galatians tells us, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he reap. Write it down, especially those of you that are young. Write it down. Sin casts long shadows. Here's a young man that begins to look at pictures when he's a young teen. Here's a young man that is no longer a young teen who has lost everything in his life because of what that sin he invited into his life has done to his adulthood. It happens time and time and time again. No specific illustration or individual intended, just to illustrate the fact. Here's a young lady, and she finds herself at death's door. She never took a harmful drug. She never had a cigarette come to her lips. She never drunk hard liquor. But she's at death's door, and as her heart begins to wane and fade, she asks herself, why did I place so much stock on how I look and therefore develop that eating disorder? And here she is in her late 20s dying because of a decision that she made when she was in junior high or high school. Sin casts long shadows. Don't think you'll be an exception. So listen to good counsel today. Keep good company today and know that your decisions that you make today will impact your tomorrows. How do you spell the word right? You ready? You've had time to think about it. Some of you may have even written it down on a sheet of paper to check your spelling. Okay? How do you spell? Spelling. I could ask you to do math. Would you rather do math? Me either. What does the word right start with? What letter? Can't hear you. R. What's the next letter? Next. 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 Just want to see if you were listening. We're going to let each letter of the word right stand for something to remember that can help us be individuals who say, I'd rather be right than president. I'd rather be right with God regardless. Let's let the letter R stand for the word relationship. In particular, our relationship with God. Come ye out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing. I will be to you a father. You shall be to me sons and daughters, we read in 2 Corinthians 6, 17 and 18. You're sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus because as many of you as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ, we read in Galatians 3, verses 25 and 26. Behold, what manner of love God has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God, we find in 1 John 3, verse 1. I have a relationship with God. I'm not going to do that because that would hurt the feelings of my Father. That would bring shame on the name of my Father, my God. I will not do that because of the relationship He allows us to share. What's the next letter in the word right? Tell me again. I stands for influence. Romans 14, verse 7 says, no man lives to himself and none of us dies to himself. We have an influence. Years ago, Don, my daddy wrote a little book called The Christian and His Influence. And I remember reading it a long time ago, reading this chapter where he writes about a man that worked in a flour mill. And after work, he went to the grocery store. And everywhere out he walked down, flour from the cuff of his pants would fall out. He'd reach up, and every shelf that he touched, flour from his shoulder, his shirt would fall off, and he left parts of himself everywhere he went in the grocery store. And the point that my daddy was making is this: with influence, we leave a part of ourselves with everyone we meet. Somebody has said we influence 60 people at a time, if not more. Can you imagine that? At this moment, 60 people are being encouraged to better their relationship with God because of you. Or 60 people are walking with a more determined pace toward hell because of you. We have an influence. You are our epistles, known and read of all men, Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. We have an influence. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works. Glorify your Father who is in heaven. You're the salt of the earth. Matthew chapter 5, 13 to 16. We have an influence. I need to ask, if I do this, will it help someone be a better person in God's eyes? If I make this decision, will it influence someone to be wrong rather than right? If it's right to do it, but wrong to do it this way, will my influence hurt rather than help? Reputation. Influence. What's the next letter? Help me. G stands for glorify. Glorify God. Brethren, there's only one purpose for our existence in this world, and it's not what we've been told. We're here to save the lost. We have been won to win, saved to save, converted to convert. Yes, 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 but that's not why we're here. That's not why we're here. We're here for one reason. Whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do. You see how all-encompassing that word is? Whatsoever you do, do all. Again, consider the all-encompassing nature of that word. Whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. That's why we're here. Everything we do, everything we are, is designed to bring God glory, or it's not something that needs to be done, not something we are to be. Glorify God. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and do what? Glorify your Father who is in heaven. What's the next word, next letter in the word right? It's the letter what? H. We're going to let H stand for the word. What word would you pick? I picked heaven. But I thought, no. There's one that's probably more practical in its application. We're going to let H stand for the word hurt. Because Romans 13 tells us about verse 9. New King James Version. Love does no harm. I know individuals who say they love, and they hurt people. They're some of the meanest people I know in stealth. But love does no harm. And so I need to ask before I say this, before I say it this way, before I do this, I need to ask, will someone be helped or will someone be hurt because of this? Oh, but they'll be hurt in a good way. Really? Is that how we're going to rationalize ourselves into being mean people? Read 1 Corinthians 13 and see what love is by seeing what love does, and then seeing what love is by seeing what love does. Remember, when you're that kind of a person, you don't hurt people. You help people. And your help should not hurt. By design, at least. What's the last letter in the word right? It's the letter T, and of course it stands for truth. Sanctify them in thy word. Thy word is truth. We must let God's word dictate what is right and what is wrong. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, what we believe, for reproof, for correction, for instruction which is in righteousness, how we are to behave, that the man of God might be complete, furnished completely unto every good work what we are to be. What we believe, how we behave, what we are to be, all dictated by the Scripture of God. And so I read in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14, solid food, that is, in context, the food of Scripture, is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by use of Scripture, by constant practice, trained by constantly practicing Scripture to distinguish good and from evil. This is good. This is evil. How do you spell the difference? Putting into practice what this book says. I'd rather be right than president. So I'm going to put you to the test. I'm going to find out how many of us were raised in the country. How does a bullfrog jump into a stock pond? It just kind of make it so it just kind of ooze on in. How does a bullfrog get into a stock pond? Anybody know? Jumps. Ka-plunk. We used to go frog gigging all the time. And we'd get behind it, and boy, we'd just about be ready, and then there you go. We figured, well, what we could do is we'd get a .22 pistol, and we'd get across, and we could spot them, and we'd shoot between the eyes, and they're not going to jump anywhere that way. They just, boom, jump into the pond, right? How does a mama heifer, a cow, get into a stock pond? Same way? One easy step at a time. Mosing on in until it's all the way up to the bottom of its stomach or either to the making of its neck. One day, you may ask yourself, how in the world did life ever get so complicated? How in the world could I have made such a mess of myself? You didn't jump into that stock pond like a bullfrog. It didn't happen overnight. You got there because of one bad decision after another. So listen to good counsel. Keep good company. Remember, the decisions you make today will impact your tomorrow. And never forget to spell the word right in making your decisions. How to make good decisions. Heavenly Father, thank you for the wonderful time that we've shared together studying your word. We're grateful that Old and New Testament alike have lessons for us to learn, benefit from, lessons that can help us be more like your son Jesus, exalt him in the process of following his example, and in the whole, bring you glory. Thank you for that challenge, dear Father. Be with us now as we take time to share a meal together and then return after a bit to study one more time from the book of Psalms. Thank you for loving us. We do love you. In Jesus' name, amen.